and you're listening to The Afternoon Show, and I'm your host, Anne Forbes-Cooper. And our next guest is Toby Carey, who's an award-winning documentary filmmaker who's made over 20 documentaries. And his most recent is The Catskill Mountain House and The World Around, which is the fascinating story of America's first great mountaintop hotel, romantic tourism, and cutthroat competition in New York's Northern Catskills. For 140 years, from 1823 to 1963, the Catskill Mountain House stood atop the Catskill High Peaks as a symbol of the Gilded Age. Beginning in the 1850s, the Laurel House, the Hotel Catterskill, the Woodstock Overlook Mountain House, and the Grand Hotel became world-famous vacation spots that attracted business tycoons, artists, and presidents. And this film is showing this Sunday, September the 18th at 2 p.m. at Green and Columbia County Community College. Last year, it won the prestigious Gold Remy Award at the 44th Houston International Film Festival. Welcome to the afternoon show, Toby. Hello?
Thank you, Anne. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. So let me ask you, why did you make this film?
Well, previous film of mine that I did with Artie Traum and Robbie Dupree called Deep Water, which is the story of the Ashokan Reservoir and the Catskill water system, which feeds water to New York City, was very popular and has been for 10 years, and people have been asking me to do some other or think about some other regional topics. And one day at a lecture at the Thomas Cole House, I was talking with Debbie Allen, and she suggested the Catskill Mountain House as a topic because it had never been done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I lay the blame on her.
Okay.
And then for 3 years, I worked on the film.
Okay. Now, what exactly does the what kind of footage does the film consist of? Can you describe it a bit for us?
Well, the film has a lot of topics in it, and it's an 80-minute long film, and it covers the early Catskills history and romantic tourism and the beginning of that in the 1820s, and of course the Catskill Mountain House Hotel itself was built in 1823, so it was really quite early in that era, and it talks about the Hudson River School paintings, and it uses art of that era, photographs, postcards, poetry, and literature to kind of tell the story, which is kind of fascinating. If you've done any reading about it, you understand how contentious it was at times.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the background of the house, how it came to be built, and who might have gone there?
Sure. Charles L. Beach was the son of a family that controlled the steamboat traffic on the river from Albany down to Catskill in that whole region. And they also were very involved with the stagecoach operations of that time. And he went with a group of people to the what's called the Pine Orchard, and they looked out and they decided that this would be a place for a hotel. And so they started very small and had actually a grand ball where they invited dignitaries down from Albany, and then they constructed it and grew the place until it became this grand hotel that we think of with the pillared columns and in front of it, some of which the copies of which are on a former church in the city of Catskill. So there are still remnants of that, although the hotel itself is long gone.
Right. And who might have gone there? What kind of famous people might have vacationed there or gone there for meetings?
Well, they often talked about presidents visiting that and the other grand hotels. There really were five that are featured in the film. And Ulysses S. Grant and people like that, and General Sherman was a famous guest there, and they would have, and of course authors of the day, well-known authors of the day like Mark Twain would visit not so much the hotels, but he was invited to the private parks, which built up around the same period, Onteora Park and Winnesook and things like that.
And what about, there were some writers, James Fenimore Cooper and Washington Irving, would they have gone there?
Well, they didn't go to the hotel, although they wrote about the area. And certainly Rip Van Winkle was one of the romantic kind of stories and mythologies that grew up that made the Catskills intriguing to people who lived outside the Catskills. And as the riverboat traffic and with steamboats and then finally the train traffic pushed into the area, it made it a lot easier for people to come up here for vacations. Of course, if you went to the Catskill Mountain House, you were very wealthy because it was very expensive. And otherwise, you would go to lesser places, and eventually there were hundreds of boarding houses that serviced the tourist trade. But there were, as I said, five major hotels that dotted the high peaks during this period.
And of course, there weren't any Jews allowed there. They went to other hotels, right?
They were very exclusive up to a period. And at a certain point, the demographics of New York City changed, and ethnic groups like the Jews wanted to get out in the country for a summertime, just like anyone else did. And when they were refused, they started going to other places, and so is called the Borscht Belt grew up, because that was an area that was more welcoming. And although those are termed the Catskills, there are folks in Greene County, of course, who would say they're not even mountains down there. So that's one of the issues. Yes, they were quite exclusive, and they were quite expensive.
And when you were doing research, what were some of the more interesting things that you discovered?
Well, I'm always interested in the interplay between the people, and there's some great stories that go along with this. There's one that's really written about so eloquently by Alf Evers in his book on the Catskills about the chicken war. Sometimes some people call it the fried chicken war, but it has to do with George Harding, who was a well-to-do, in fact, he was the most prominent patent lawyer in the country, lived in Philadelphia, and he was a regular guest at the Mountain House in the mid-century, and his wife and daughter, or daughter, as the story goes, I've heard it various ways, was ill, and he wanted them to have chicken rather than whatever else was on the menu at that time. Now, Charles Beach evidently was quite the strict person in the way he ran his operation, and he refused, saying what's on the menu is what you'll get, and Mr. Harding was quite put out, and finally the report has it that Mr. Beach said, if you don't like what's on the menu, perhaps you should build your own hotel. Of course, Mr. Harding, being one of the wealthiest people in the country, just went ahead and did that, and he built the Hotel Cotterskill, which was about a mile away and it was larger by far than the Catskill Mountain House. The perimeter was a mile around. It had accommodations for about 1,000 people, and the Catskill Mountain House had many fewer rooms. So it was bigger and grander and more up-to-date, and became a big rival of the Mountain House for many years, until it burned tragically in an accident in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. And I was also reading that it wasn't exactly a luxurious hotel, because it had no indoor plumbing.
Right. And as one of the historians I spoke to for the project said, it all sounds very romantic to go to these places, but who would really want to stay in a wooden fire trap with no plumbing?
Yes. Yeah, put like that. Yeah, he has a point. Now, just the your film, I mean, do you have old movies of it? Do you have film of it, as opposed to stills?
Well, the only film I actually have of the Mountain House itself is when it was being burnt. Mm. I have no motion picture film of the Mountain House. I have many photographs and drawings, because it was one of the things that was happening during the early days of the Mountain House, and really was... for some 80 years, it really had the territory all to itself, because the Hotel Cotterskill wasn't opened until 1881. So for 60 years, it really had the place to itself. And there were great new magazines at that time that were coming out, and the great latest technology was a way to either show photographs or drawings in these magazines, and there were a lot of great illustrations of the Catskills and the famous spots like the Cottersville Falls and the Twin Lakes and a variety of interesting places that are still there. So although the hotels are gone, people can certainly hike to all these places and still get some of the same views that are really incorporated in these things.
Mm.
But no, I don't have, sadly, I don't have any film of the hotels themselves, but I do have a film of some of the railroads that service the hotels. And a special note is the Otis Elevating Railroad, which went from the bottom of the mountain up the wall of Manitou, very close to the mountain house itself. It was a cog railway right up the side of the mountain.
Now, how would people have traveled there from New York City? Would they have come up the Hudson and then got on the railroad?
They would either take the train after a time and either get off and either stay on. If they took the train, they could go to Kingston and on the Ulster and Delaware go to Phoenicia and then take the small, originally narrow gauge railway, which was built from Phoenicia up through Stony Clove, up to close to Hunter, and then it went east all the way over to Cottersville Station, which was very close to the Mountain House and was a stop for the Hotel Cottersville. Or they could go by steamboat up to Kingston and get off and get on the train, or steamboat up to Catskill and get off. And from Catskill, Charles Beach built a railroad which went to Palinville, and then eventually the Otis Elevating, which took people up the mountainside to his hotel. So there were competing railroads, and at some points on the mountaintop, both railroads ran parallel.
Right, right. And of course, the site now, it is one of the hikes you can hike to it. It's one of the hikes of is on the Thomas Cole Historic Site Tour, I think.
It's a very easy hike to get to, because basically you drive to North South Lake and you park at the furthest parking lot, and the hike itself is a 5 to 10 minute hike up a little hill, and then you're on the escarpment overlooking the Hudson Valley.
Yeah,
and
the
if you go at dawn,
stunning.
You're likely to see. I'm sorry.
I just said yeah, and the views are stunning.
They are stunning. If you go at dawn, you're likely to, in the summer, you're likely to see fog, and if you stay there long enough, you see the fog lifting, which is quite a glorious kind of thing.
And didn't the owner, Charles Beach, insist that everybody get up at dawn to watch the sunrise?
The story is that he would clang bells and bang up, have his servants bang on pots to make sure everyone got up for the sunrise. And I'm not sure how popular that was with everybody, but it was one of the features.
Right. And just describe exactly how it came to be burned. How did the end of the era come about?
Well, the Mountain House, after World War I, things started to change, of course, because roads were built, and so people could go other places more easily. And then, of course, World War II happened, and then after that, airplane traffic became possible, so people could go to far destinations for vacations. So the whole idea of just coming to the Catskills as this glorious place kind of had a lot of competition. And the last season that the Mountain House was open and had a full year was 1942. And it was run in its latter years that it was open, and it's kind of ironic, by a Jewish family that had a kosher-style hotel. And after they couldn't keep it up during the war, it fell into disuse for over 20 years. It sat there kind of rotting away. It was bought by a local person who had worked there as a child and was a local banker, and he kept pouring money into it, then eventually started selling off parts of it to try to save the core of it. A hurricane came through in the 1950s and tore off part of the front and the porch. And so it was really in desperate shape. New York State wanted to buy it. Eventually they did. and along with some other properties on the mountaintop. And because of their the way they are structured in the Catskill Park, they were supposed to, are supposed to, wherever possible, have the land be forever wild, which means no structures on it. That's one thing. And this was really a very decrepit building, and in fact dangerous, although people would go up and see it and kind of marvel at it, even in its old age. Mm-hmm. So they burnt it one snowy morning, early in the morning. The local fire companies knew about it and were on hand, but that's about it. And then it went up on a big burst of flame. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, they burned the Laurel House, which is the head of Cotterskill Falls, which was another famous hotel of the era, and that, from reports, was in much better shape as a hotel, but still they burnt that, and so now all that is public land and available, actually, for hiking for most of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I assume the Catskill Mountain House did get indoor plumbing towards the end of its life, then?
Well, I don't know that it did. I would think so, but the story in the film says it never did by one of the historians, and I haven't had anyone contradict it, so I'd be interested to know if that's the case. I'd like to be accurate, in these things. So maybe at the showing, someone will have a bit of information that'll add to mine.
Right. Now, how often does this film get shown?
Well, the film has been shown several times since it came out last October. We showed it in Hunter, which had its premiere. It showed in Catskill at the community theater there. It's shown in Kingston. It's shown in five or six different spots now as far as those kinds of showings. Its greatest success really is its availability as a DVD, either online or in retail outlets. It's in about a dozen retail stores throughout the area.
Mm-hmm. And are they local bookstores, or what kind of retail stores might people pick them up
on? Local stores. Yeah, local stores. The bookstore in Woodstock, country store in Shokan. It's in two places on Main Street in Catskill.
Mm-hmm.
It's many of the historical societies have it in their gift shops, places like that.
Right. And what are some of your other documentaries about, in addition to the one that you mentioned earlier on in the program?
Right. Well, if people go to our website, which is documentaryworld.com, they can see a fairly complete list. Some of the things that I have done over the years are, I've done several films about Indian Point. The most recent one is called Indian Point, Nowhere to Run, which talks about the evacuation issues. It was done in 2003. I've done a film on the Hudson River PCB issue for Clearwater. I've done a film recently, kind of a memoir, a semi-memoir, about the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Stanley Kunitz's boyhood home, which I discovered quite by chance was the same as my boyhood homes.
Uh-huh.
So that became a film. I did a film on the mascot controversy at Onteora a school district called School Board Blues. I've done a whole bunch of things.
And are you working on anything at the moment?
I'm sorry?
Are you working on anything at the moment?
Yes. Right now I'm in my post-production on a film called Sweet Violets, and it's the story of the flower violets and their commercial growing in Rhinebeck, New York, in that area, because Rhinebeck at one time was the violet capital of the world.
Gosh, I didn't know that.
So it's another one of these, other little kind of unknown stories that I like to find, and it's I'm really having a good time with it. I imagine it'll be premiering around Valentine's Day next February, because Valentine's Day was a very big holiday for violets, long before it was for roses.
Ah, that's interesting. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Well, I hope you'll learn a few things in this film. I had a really fun time doing it. So that's next. That'll be next out of the studio. And now I'm in researching a couple of different projects. One is dealing with, in more depth, about the railroad system in the Catskills.
Oh, right. So another film about the Catskills coming out. And this one, the Catskill...
I think so.
This one, the Catskill Mountain House and the World Around, is showing this Sunday, September the 18th at 2 p.m., at the Green in Columbia County College. And is there anything else that you'd like to add, Toby?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I think it's great that you're doing this radio station. It's a terrific thing. And I know how much work is involved in these kind of efforts, so I can say bravo to all you folks.
Thank you so very much, and thank you for being on the afternoon noon show. And that was Toby Carey, an award-winning documentary filmmaker who's made over 20 documentaries, including The Catskill Mountain House and The World Around.